Okay. So this week, our topic is the parents of the Ben Sorer Umora. I want to talk about their role, and their role is going to be multifaceted here, but of course it's going to be against the backdrop of the discussions that we've been having for the last several weeks pertaining to the conceptual Mechayev, pertaining to the nature of Ben Sorer Umora, whether this is an issue that primarily pertains to his hedonistic behavior or an issue that more primarily pertains to the rebellion that he has waged against his, that he staged against his parents. So, obviously the parents are going to play an important role, but what exact role they play is going to be subject to some questions. And it's hard to actually pin it down definitively. I'll offer that as a premise at the very outset. But at the very least, we could try to examine some of the factors and get some indications in one direction or another regarding the role of the parents. Now, it's very clear that the parents do play some central role, and that's made clear from the psukim themselves. If we look at source number one is the very first source that we started Perek Ben Sorer Umora with. Naturally, it's the parsha within the Sidra of Kisetze, in which the discussion of Ben Sorer Umora occurs. And in this parsha, we immediately see that the parents are front and center. Ki yela ish ben sorer umora. When a man has a rebellious son. So the mere fact that he's referred to the rebellious son as opposed to the rebellious person already tells us that there's something within this parental relationship that's critical here. Einenu shomea b'kol aviv u'v'kol imo. He's not listening to the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. V'yisaru oso v'lo yishma alehem. They tell him off. He's not listening to them. Lo yishma alehem. Again, this first pasuk, we have a primary emphasis on the fact that he is morid, he's rebelling against his parents. And then in Pasuk Yates, and this is going to be something that's important that we'll begin to examine tonight, V'safsuvo aviv imo, they are the ones who grab him, V'hotziu ozol ziknei yirov yashar mekamo, and they are the ones who bring him, who drag him to the elders of the city, where he will be judged. And then the Torah describes the judgment and the case, etc., but within these first two psukim, we see a primary role of the parents. Now, elaborating on that second pasuk, on pasuk yutes, of the safizuvo of avivimo, the Mishnah and the Gemara tells us that the parents actually play a central, almost prosecutorial role in this process. They are almost the prosecutors of this child. If you look at source number two, Sanhedrin daf ayin aleph amud aleph, haya aviv rotza v'imo eino rotza, aviv eino rotza v'imo rotza, eino na'aza ben sorer umora, adji yushneim rotza. Both of the parents have to press charges, as it were. They have to be the ones who are going to bring him to the Ziknei Iro, as the pasuk implies. So the parents are the ones who are going to actually facilitate this entire process of Ben Sorer Umora. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at the end of the Mishnah, Em lo haisa imo ru'uya la'aviv, eino na'asa Ben Sorer Umora. If the parents are not compatible with one another, or are not appropriate for one another, he's not going to be a Ben Sorer Umora. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss what exactly this means. If you look quickly in the Gemara, we won't read the entire thing inside here, just for the sake of saving some time. But the Gemara considers the possibility that they're chayve krisos, chayave misos based in, they're prohibited to one another, a circumstance where the marriage is inappropriate. But the Gemara doesn't conclude that. It concludes Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im lo haisa imo shave lo aviv bekol uvemara uvekoma. Eino na'asa Ben Sorer Umora. They have to be equal in height, in appearance, and in voice. Very interesting halacha. And the Gemara, the Gemara appropriately concludes that, if you look at the last line here, Keman azla hadasanya ben sorer umora lo hayav lo asid lehios, who is the opinion that holds that there never was a ben sorer umora and there never will be a ben sorer umora? V'lo minith of Josh v'kabal schar, and we just did it in order to receive reward. Keman k'Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda, because you're never going to have an instance where the parents are exactly the same height and look the same and sound the same. That would be a pretty creepy scenario. So we have interesting qualifications about the parents. Again, Rabbi Yehuda aside, Rabbi Yehuda is very interesting, Seir Sakasov, but certainly, at least at the outset of the Mishnah, and this is going to be something that's going to resurface later in the Shir, we'll talk about this a little later as well, the parents have to have one mind in bringing this child before the Beis Din. If you look at the second Mishnah, the third paragraph of source number two, Mishnah haya echad mihem gidei mochiger o'ilim osuma ocheresh eno nasim sorer umora. Have a whole series of gzeros akasov pertaining to the stature of the parents. They can't be crippled in terms of their hands, ochiger, they can't be crippled in terms of their legs, they can't be lame. O'ilei mosuma, they have to be able to speak, they have to be able to hear, they have to be able to see. All of these qualifications, chereish, right, we have all these qualifications pertaining to the parents themselves, and they all come to this pasuk of v'safsuvo. Shenemar, v'safsuvo aviv v'imo. The logidman, they have to grab him. Hotziyu oso v'lo chigrin. They have to be able to walk him to the basin. V'amru v'lo ilman. They have to be able to speak. B'neinu zevelo sumen. Hinenu shomei b'kolin v'lo chirshin. All of these gzeres hakasov pertaining to the role of the parents. Once again, seemingly highlighting, you could treat all these gzeres hakasov, and there are lots of gzeres hakasov within mitzvah umura, as we will see as we go further. But all of these can be seen as an elaboration of an elucidation of, again, the prosecutorial role of the parents in bringing this child before the Beis Din. So the parents definitely play a central role. That's clear in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. It's also clear in the process by which the Ben Tzorer Umore indeed is convicted as a Ben Tzorer Umore. But in terms of other areas, particularly in terms of the question of what he needs to do in order to qualify as a Ben Tzorer Umore, we do have certain questions pertaining to what exactly the role of the parents is, and what exactly the relationship between child and parents is in terms of defining him as a Ben Tzorer Umore. And again, I just play this against the background of the Chakira that we've been developing over the course of the last several weeks regarding what the primary driving force behind the Mechayev of Ben Tzorer Umore is. Is it his hedonistic activity, the Zolel V'Sove component, or is it the Mered against his parents, the fact that he is rebelling. The kibud avim, perhaps the gezel component. The gezel component is perhaps something that will develop more in future weeks, maybe. But is it really the zolo vasove, the hedonistic behavior, or is it the way he is relating to his parents? And this can potentially express itself in several issues that hopefully we will explore tonight. The first is the exact circumstances in which he is stealing from his parents. We do know that he does need to steal from his parents, as we'll see in a moment. That's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that on the Ayin Aleph. It's earlier up on the Ayin Aleph in source number 2. That's a Mishnah of Perek. But what exactly are the circumstances of this stealing? So let's take a look at source number 3. Mishnah. Ganav mishal aviv v'achal b'rishus aviv. If he stole from his father and ate within the rishus of his father, Mishal Acherim v'achal b'rishus Acherim. He stole from others who were not his father and ate within their rishus. Mishal Acherim v'achal b'rishus Aviv. Or if he stole from others and ate it within the rishus, within the domain of his father, Eino na'asa ben Tzorer Umore, in any of those circumstances, he is not going to be made a ben Tzorer Umore. Ad sheyignov mishal Aviv v'yochal b'rishus Acherim. Until he eats within the jurisdiction of his father and eats it elsewhere. Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Yehuda omer ad sheyignov mishal Aviv u'mishal Ima. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says he needs to steal something from his father and from his mother. So we see that stealing from his father is something critical. If he's just stealing from others, again, if you were just going with a pure hedonistic element or with a molastem esabrios, that the direction that he's headed in is going to lead him to be a worse kind of criminal, and we need to put a stop to that now, you conceivably could have said that even stealing from others is going to be sufficient. But the Mishnah says, clearly, he needs to steal from his father. Now the question is going to be, what is the significance of this qualification, of this criterion, that he needs to steal from his father? Is this going to be a reflection of the fundamental role that mered against his parents plays, that rebellion against his parents plays, or is this going to be a more technical factor? And this, perhaps, is subject to a machlokes, perhaps a machlokes tanaim, and it perhaps emerges from the analysis of the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara tries to explain why in the world we have this strange qualification that he needs to steal it from his father and yet eat it in the rishus of Achirim, yet eat it in someone else's jurisdiction. The Gemara explains, Ganav mishal aviv v'achal b'rishus aviv, avagav d'shchiach le'ba'is. Let's say he stole it from his father's property. So the Gemara says, shchiach le'. It's something that he's around all the time. He's always around his father's property. He let's say he lives in his father's household, or he's constantly visiting his father. He's frequently surrounded by, or he's frequently within the presence of his father's property. So it's shchiach le. At the same time, however, ba'is. There's a certain fear, there's a certain trepidation of consuming it within the presence of his father. Mishal acherim v'achal b'rishus acherim, avagav lo ba'is lo shchiach le. When he steals from others and eats in the domain of others, it's not shchiach, he's not always around those other people, but he doesn't fear, he doesn't have the same trepidation that he has when he's around his father. When he steals from others, that's not shchiach. When he eats within his father's rishos, he's fearful. So lo shchiach le'ubas, as the Gemara explains. In short, the Gemara says there are two qualifications here. We need him to have a case. We need there to construct a case where the material that he is stealing, or the raw goods that he's stealing, the bread, the meat, and the wine that he's stealing, is something that he's going to be around frequently, and we need him to eat it in a way in which he's not afraid of what he's doing. He's not eating it in an environment that's permeated by fear and trepidation. Now, why are those two factors so important? Rashi, source number 4, Ba'is mispachid mi'aviv shelo yavin hilkach lo mamshech. Rashi introduces a key word here that we'll see comes from the Gemara itself, mamshech. One major qualification of the Ben Sora Umore is the question of whether or not he's going to continue on this path. Is this a one-time thing that he happened to have done? All right, he made a mistake. It wasn't good, but we'll cut him some slack. Or is this something that is going to become a repetitive behavior such that it's going to lead him on that path that the Gemara was concerned about towards, again, all of the drastic results of the Ben Sora Umore? So Rashi says we need a scenario of mamshech, something that's going to be a scenario where he says, you know what? This was really easy. This was really great. This is something that I would definitely do again. So how do you construct that? It needs to be a scenario where the material that he's stolen is easily accessible. It's his father's household. He could easily get more of it. And he ate it in a way where he wasn't, you know, really scared, listening for every single creak in the floor, every noise that his father's possibly going to come home and discover him, a scenario where it was easy for him to do it. That is the category of mamshech. And Rashi, again, he elaborates further in the next Yibar. He can always steal this, and he'll eat it in someone else's Rishos, because he won't be afraid that his father will discover him, and then he will continue. This category of Mamshech is something that we find in many other circumstances of Mitzvah. Shmuel, well, you had a question first?
Yeah, quick question regarding this. So, but the more that we said he shouldn't be afraid of his father walking in on him.
Right.
But doesn't that kind of go in the opposite direction of him doing it in spite of his father and rebellion of his father? In other words, if he's trying to avoid his, he's trying to avoid his father finding out, doesn't that reflect a certain fear, a certain trepidation of his father?
Thank
something
you.
Which...
It's more telling on him than on the parent.
Okay, so good. Yes, give me one second. We're gonna come back to that. At the very least, this implies that the stealing from his father... We'll get back. We'll do a further analysis in a second. I think your point is very, very good. But this category of mamshech we find by lots of the qualifications of Bensor Rumor. If you look in source number 5, Amar of Huna, Enochayev, Achiyikach, Fasar, Bezol, V'yochal, Yayin, Bezol, V'yishta, Tichsiv, Zolel, V'zoveh. We need to be purchasing cheap meat and cheap wine. And unsurprisingly, what does Rashi explain? Source number 6, Yayin Bezol, Aval B'yoker, Lo Shchich, Ilei Ma'os, Lignov, Kulihai, V'lo Mamshech. If it's cheap, then once again, this is something that is going to become a repetitive behavior. If it's really expensive, he's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to finance the habit. Source number 7, V'amar Rav Hanan Bar, mine is like inked out, what does that say? Molda, Amar Rav Huna, Eino Chai, V'chiyochel Basar Chai, V'yishte Yayin Chai. He's not going to be chayav until he eats raw meat and drinks undiluted wine, right? Yayin she'eino mazug. The Gemara explains that it's not literally raw and it's not literally eino mazug. It's chay ve'eino chay, mazug ve'eino mazug, similar to the categories that we find by in Hilchos Shabbos. That's partially cooked and not fully cooked, or it's partially mixed, the wine is partially mixed and not fully mixed. Once again, Rashi jumps in. Yayin chay, mamshech mipnei she'meshubachu. He's going to continue because that's really good wine. Look, he's not going to go for just fully diluted wine. He's not going to go for fully undiluted wine either. The best wine is this wine that's mazug ve'ino mazug. Unless you think that it's just Rashi who's inserting this every time, we find this line of mamshech in the Gemara itself. Source number 9. Rabba, that shouldn't say ba, Rabba v'Rav Yosef to Amri Charvayu, Rabba v'Rav Yosef both declare, Acha basar meliach v'shosa yayin megiso, eino na'aseh ben zoru moreh, if he eats this salted or pickled meat, and he drinks this fresh wine that hasn't undergone the proper aging and fermentation process, he's not going to be considered a ben zoru moreh. Hacham yishvim shuchihu, uv'chol shuhu lo mimshach. I cut out the middle part of the Gemara, where it compares it to a different area of halacha, compares it to Tisha B'Av, but In short, he's saying the concern here is that he needs to continue, and these aren't considered such delicacies that he's going to continue. And again, you have it again in source 10, just to catalog all of this. Akal bechaburas mitzvah, if he ate it within a chabura of mitzvah. Now, before we read the chaburas mitzvah point, I'll just throw out now, and we're going to see this again later, the Rambam very much limits this factor of mamshich. He does have it, but as opposed to Rashi, who kind of throws it in everywhere, the Rambam really does limit the application of this mamshich. We're going to see one instance of that tonight, and as we go further within Shitas Rambam in future weeks, we will develop that further. But the Rambam does very significantly limit mamshich. But in any event, achal bechaburas mitzvah, if he's eating it within the framework of a mitzvah, it's a sudas mitzvah. Once again, ino nasa mitzvah rumore, and I just underlined it, we could just jump to the end, kibin divi mitzvah ka'asik lo mimshech. It's a mitzvah. He's not going to continue stealing if he's doing a mitzvah. That's not going to lead him to continue this path. Achab ibra chodesh, and again, kibin divi mitzvah ka'asik lo mimshech. If he's doing it in the context of the su'uda of ibra chodesh. Achal ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim, kibin dechi orcheihu ka'achilei lo mimshech. Here the language is not kibin divi mitzvah ka'asik. Whether or not achilas ma'aser sheni for someone who is not the Bailam on the Maaser Sheni is a mitzvah, or whether there's a mitzvah at all for Achilas Maaser Sheni, is a major machlokas. So it's interesting that the Gemara formulates it here, not as kibin dekaasik b'mitzvah, but rather dechi orcheihu ka'achela. We might do, I'm thinking about it, we might, maybe when we finish the Sugya Mansur Mora, maybe we'll do one shir on Maaser Sheni, because a lot of the, tangentially, a lot of interesting issues about Maaser Sheni come up in this parak, in these Gemaras. But Rashi here says that we'll leave it for another time. But if you look at Lashon of Rashi, he's clearly trying to avoid the description as a mitzvah itself. But in any event, we once again have a description of a category of lo mamshech. So now, coming back to the whole parental issue, the Mishnah originally said that it's critical that he steals from his father. Now, if I had just seen the Mishnah, and I hadn't been examining the Gemara, I would have said that is a great indication that the Mechayev of Mitzvah Remora is not just his hedonistic behavior, it's not just his totally uncontrolled passions that lead him to be stealing from others and engaging in all sorts of ludicrous activities and behaviors. I would have said that a critical Mechayev is stealing from his father. But if you look at the Gemara seems to entirely neutralize that point. What is the father factor? It's a factor of Ain't a mamshech. Like all these other factors, the point has to be that he's going to continue on this road. And why is it important that he steals from his father? Because of shchiach. A purely technical consideration. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's stealing from his father. It has to do with the fact that he's stealing from an area where the goods are highly accessible and he can continue doing that. Now you throw in Shmuel's point as well, that the Mishnah says that it has to be in a circumstance where he's not afraid, right? That would seem to indicate that if we're taking fear of his father into consideration, no, you don't have to take it this way, but again, we'll run with what you were saying before, Shmuel, that highlights that there is some fear of his father in this circumstance, that perhaps it isn't a full merit. You could have said the opposite. You could have said, Adrabba. If he eats it in his father's household, that's a real merit. He's willing to eat it in his father's household. So you already have this question as to whether or not the father factor is significant. But however, I'm going to point out the following. Remember the Seifa of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheyigno mishal aviv, Umishal ima. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda says he needs to steal from his father and from his mother. The Gemara tries to go through a whole discussion of how exactly you construct such a circumstance. If Masha Kansa Isha Kansa Kanavaila, where do you have that circumstance? So the Gemara discusses that. But according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, he needs to be stealing from both. Now, how do we understand Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda? One technical way you can understand it is that there's even greater ema, there's even greater, or it's even more shchiach I don't think you could say it's not an ema factor. You'd have to say that it's more shchiach if it's from both of them. But that's very difficult to say. The Gemara itself struggles to find the circumstance where they both own it. It's a much more common thing, again, if you're working within the standard framework of the halacha, that the father of the household is the one who owns the material goods, is the one who owns the basar, who owns the yain, who owns the meat, and who owns the wine. So, if you're just talking about shchiach, then why would you need mishal aviv and mishal ima? So the fact that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda throws in mishal ima as well seems to indicate that for him, this is not just a technical factor of shchiach, but clearly the fact that he's stealing from his parents is a critical part of the mechayev as well. So right off the bat within the Mishnah, you open the possibility of saying that there is a machlokas here about the role of the parents. According to one view, the role of the parents is tangential or technical. It happens to be a shchiach factor, there happens to be an ema factor when it comes to his father that will impact our calculus as when it comes to mamshech and whether or not he's going to continue on that path. But according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, it certainly seems as if stealing from the parents is a critical part of the mechayev beyond just the technical factors of shchiach and mamshech. Okay? Good. Another nafkamina that I threw in here, I mean, I guess this really should be the last one, but I threw it in directly because I guess it's the most direct discussion of this, is section 3, or the first section 3. I seem to have put two section 3s on this Ram Kamo sheet. But section 3a, which is the question of Evet. If you look in source number 11, Menchas Chinuch Mitzvah Reish Memches, Sef Katan Chavav, raises the question as to whether or not an Eved can be a Ben Sarer Umur, an Eved Ben Avod. What would be the question? Why would there be a question as to whether or not an Eved can be a Ben Sarer Umur? Because an Eved does not have Yuchsin. Does not have Yuchsin. An Eved is not halachically related to his or her parents, even in an even more severe way than a Ben Noach. Than a Ben Noach, as the Menchas Chinuch will note.
Parents also don't want anything.
I'm sorry? Oh, so that's another factor that the Menchas Chinuch addresses. If you're dealing with the technical factor of Shchiach, he addresses that as well. But you could deal with... Let's just look at the Menchas Chinuch. I actually cut that part out for the most part. I was just going to mention it outside, but because you brought it up, let's just go through it. Upash din soru umora nohe gamkein inhu eved, ubamina eved ushefcha, tem chayavim b'chol mitzvah satorah. It seems clear to me, he says at the outset, that this din of Ben Sarer Umura should equally apply to an Eved and a Shefcha, because they are obligated in all mitzvahs, kol mitzvahs HaTorah. Umayri dinasno lo aviv mamon amenas she'in l'rabba reshuspo, and we must be dealing with a circumstance where someone granted his father, who's also an Eved, money on the condition that the Rav, the Adon, the master, should not have... any rights to it, to e lav hachi masha kana eved kana rabba, because if not, then he's not going to really own anything, it's going to go directly to the oven. The only way we can find that he's stealing from his father is through this particular approach. And then he says, he considers the possibility, like Yonatan was saying, that perhaps there shouldn't be Ben Sarer Umura because there's no shchiach category, because his father doesn't own so much. But then in the end, he throws in the following question. Venerally, because an Eved does not have Yichus, and he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Kilas Av Ve'im, of cursing one's father or mother and mother, Gam Eino Naaseh Ben Sarer Umura. He also cannot become a Ben Sarer Umura. Ein Rabban Perek Yabez Mehichos Ishus. That's where the Rabban discusses Piriya Verivya for an Eved. The Rabban says that an Eved, La'achar Shanishtachar, after he becomes free, has a mitzvah to have children, even if he had children be'af do so, because of the lack of halachic yichus, because of the lack of that halachic relationship. Ubehei mamrim, uvehechos mamrim, and also in hechos mamrim, that's where he discusses mekal of avimo, te'eno b'no klal af kodem shechru, that he's not considered his son at all. Imkein pshita delo na'aseh ben Sarer Umura upashat. The Menchas Chinuch takes that as a milsa de pshita, that there is going to be no category of Ben Sarer Umura. Now, is that really so? Is that really so, Pasha? Now, if you're asserting, like we were saying for Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that rebellion against parents is a critical part of the Mechayev, then I agree with the Menchas Chinuch wholeheartedly. That obviously you'd have to be considered a halachic parent in order to have a status of Ben Sarer Umura. If this is merely just a technical factor of Shchiach, now you're right, we might have other technical factors to consider in the case of Eved, right? Because whether or not it's Shchiach is a whole separate question. That's what Menchas Chinuch was addressing before. That's the point that Yonatan raised as well. But is it really so obvious that simply because there's no halachic yichus, there shouldn't be any Ben Sarer Umura? Is there still going to be Ema in the instance of his biological father? It's certainly logical to assume that there would be, right? Unless he's a real halachic man, right? He only feels the emas aviv for the halachic relationship. Presumably, there's ema, even in a circumstance where, from a halachic standpoint, there's ema hem yuchsin. There's no technical halachic relationship. So once again, I understand where the Menchas Chinuch is coming from, to be sure. But it certainly once again leads us in the direction of saying that perhaps there's a more fundamental role to play in terms of stealing from the parent beyond just the shliach consideration. There's actually a factor or a criterion pertaining to the mered against his parents. So that's just kind of like an extension of the shliach factor. Is that, we're good on that one? Okay, let's just examine two more. I want to examine two more nafkaminas of this question. The third, and this is a really interesting one, is mechila. Can the parents forgive the son and decide that they don't want to take him to Beis Din? Now, if you're just asking me on an a priori level, before I look at the Gemara, I'd say, oh, wonderful, we have a nafkamina of Erech HaKira. If it's going to be a din in hedonism and Zolo Vesove, etc., 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 then how can the parents be mochel? That's not their prerogative. They have nothing to say about the Ramban's Kedoshim Tehu or the Rambam's Losoch Lo Al Adam. If it's going to be the Ramban's Ish Imova Aviv Tira'u or Kibud Avim, then perhaps there's room for Mechila. Now, of course, whenever we get into these considerations, we have to get into the Av Shemachal Al Kvodo and Rav Shemachal Al Kvodo and Melech Shemachal Al Kvodo, right? There's always a question as to whether or not one actually has the capability to be Mochel on their Kavod, but at least once we're within that category, we could begin speaking about Mechila. So I would have said that's a wonderful nafkamina. The Gemara gives us a very definitive psak on this issue. Source number 12. Ben Tzora Remora Sheratu Aviv Imo Limcholo Mochlon Lo. If you have Ben Tzora Remora, and his parents want to forgive him, they may forgive him. So that would seem to clearly indicate that what is the Mechayev Ben Tzora Remora? It's clearly about the way he treated his parents. So Pasha, not so Pasha. Yonatan, go ahead.
Are we saying this is after he's been brought to Beis Din before?
That is the million-dollar question, okay? So this is exactly what we need to examine. Source number 13. Now, why is that critical?
Because we already said before, a man who wrote, and then...
Good, excellent, Pasha. Okay? So the critical question here is going to be the following. When we say mochlen lo, is that merely an extension of what we were saying before in terms of the prosecutorial role of the parents? We already know from the Mishnah that the parents need to bring him in, that they need to play some role. Again, nobody's going to deny that the parents play some role here. That's what we said at the outset. It's clear in the Psukim, it's clear in the Halachos, that the parents play some role. When we say mochlen lo, is that merely stating a restatement of the prosecutorial role that we highlighted in the Mishnah earlier on, that, oh, both of them need to want to bring him to Beis Din, and if they don't want to bring him, if they get cold feet, then they're not going to go forward with the process of Ben Tzora Remora? Or are we saying something much further, that even once they have brought him to Beis Din, even once they've played their role, even once it's out of their hands, they still have the ability to be mochel? And this ends up being a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Source number 13, Ben Tzora Remora, Af la'achar shehisru bo v'kilkel, even after they warned him, and he messed up, he still did the Avera. Behil kuhu v'chazar v'kilkel, and they gave him Malkus. And afterwards, he does it again. That's going to be something that we'll talk about extensively, as I've alluded to in the past as well. The whole two-stage process, that first he receives Malkus, and then afterwards he receives Misa. Imratu limchol, if they want to forgive, and then critical qualification, v'lo hevi uhu le-Beis Din, and they did not yet bring him to Beis Din, mochlen lo. Shakosuv Tala Behem Vitafsuba. Why? They didn't yet bring him to Beis Din, then they can be Mochel. And then Rashi goes further and explicitly says, why do they have this ability to be Mochel? Because of Vitafsuba. Rashi explicitly links this back to the mission that we were talking about earlier that says Vitafsuba indicates that the parents have this role in the prosecution, that they are the ones who have to bring him forward. They both have to want to do it. So Rashi says, obviously, just as a logical extension of that, if they both have to want to do it, then if either of them decides that they don't want to do it, Mochlen lo, before they bring him to Beis Din, they have the ability to do it. What is implicit in Rashi? Once they have handed him over to Beis Din, they no longer have that ability. But the Rambam explicitly argues. Source number 14. V'imachlu lo aviv v'imo, kodem sheyigmar dino, pater. Not kodem sheyiviuhu le Beis Din, kodem sheyigmar dino. Once Beis Din paskins that this kid is going to Misa, then he's a gavra katila. At that point, they don't have the ability to take things back. Then the psak is already in. You can't change it at that point. But until the Beis Din renders the psak, even after they brought him to Beis Din, as long as the Beis Din is still engaged in the Masa Umatan, trying to decide whether or not this kid qualifies, this young man qualifies as a Ben Tzora Remora, until that point, they have the ability to be Mochel. The Mishnah Lamelech notes the Machlokes. Originally, he doesn't understand the Rambam, why the Rambam would be able to say that. Then he notes that the Yerushalmi seems to imply that the Rambam is correct, and at the end he wonders why Rashi disagrees with the Yerushalmi. But either way, we have this machlokas as to what degree the parents can be engaged in mechila.
So we're saying for the Rambam, could that be a din in just like Hatzala in general, about any time we have room to prevent someone from getting killed, we'll take it? Or does it have to be a specific din in Pensar Ramah?
That's interesting. I mean, obviously, look.
You can just say in general, there's room for Hatzalah, like in Hanami, maybe.
Hatzalah, look, we always stack the case in favor of Hatzalah in many, many, many ways. If you go through earlier Perekim of Sanhedrin, right, the sixth Perek, the seventh Perek, there are many ways that we stack the court in favor of Zakai, which leads to the famous Mishnah in Makos, right, that it's only 1 in 7 years that a vicious Beis Din would be putting somebody to death, or the gears of 70 years, whatever the case may be. Is this just a substantiation of that larger issue? I honestly don't know. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back to those halachos. Can there be mechila in circumstances? Well, I guess there can't be mechila when it comes to like...
No, but there's definitely...
Most chiyuve misa, there's no room for mechila. Could you have seen it from that standpoint? I guess theoretically. But I think nonetheless, it says a lot that the av and the aim can be mochel.
Sure.
We don't allow anyone, just anyone, to be mochel. Jerry and Shmuel.
More so.
Yeah, that's why. Age before beauty. Go ahead, Jerry.
the language of mechila itself actually makes this more similar to like a civil case. For example, if I sue you and bring you to Beit Din, and then before the verdict is pronounced, I say, you know what, forget it.
Right.
Such a good history. So, like, Beit Din doesn't say, well, no, you brought it to us, like...
So the language of Mechila it would further the idea that it's a personal affront to the parents, no?
Well, it could, but I could also say, the Din of Ben Sarah Romero is really about, you know, Gzeila. It's really just an issue of, like, did you steal? Happens to be the punishment is death because of the conflict.
I need to dive in. Yeah, I got you. We're going to hurry and finish this up. Yeah.
Therefore, and Mechila is nothing more than the fact that this is more of a civil thing. I mean, I'm more inclined to what you're saying, but I'm saying...
It's certainly not just civil, right? You never have Misa on a civil case.
Right, I understand that.
Right, yeah, I think your point is well taken, but I would say if anything that highlights further that it's the interpersonal component, let's put it that way, right? Mechila implies interpersonal, right? Dine Mamonos, right? There's the interpersonal factor that's highlighted.
Yes.
That, especially
not exactly the same kind of interpersonal factor that we sort of are...
Of course, again, of course it's going to be different here, right? This is not, after all, Dine Momentus, but... Yeah, Shmuel, you're going to...
I answered it.
Yeah, okay. So, the Rambam goes a giant step further. Now, I'm just going to point out that here the Rambam introduces a little ambiguity. Until now, I've been going with the Rambam with a hedonistic approach, and I've been saying that over and over again. Lo soch lo al adam is the azhara. He says that you have to eat it pera'av sonos. He adds, bavaz achas umulogma achas, and the Radvaz didn't like that. But... I'll just note, for the sake of just pure honesty here, I think they quote B'Shem Soloveitchik, that the Soloveitchik learned differently. The Rambam, first of all, puts this in Hilchos Mamrim. Mamrim is all about rebellion. That's what Mamrim is about. Now, in the spirit of Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, you always have to ask, where else would the Rambam have put it? But conceivably, we could have constructed other places where perhaps the Rambam would have put it. Machal Zasuros, maybe, I was thinking that. Somewhere in Kedusha, right, exactly. So the Rambam could have conceivably placed it there. And he places it in Hilchos Mamrim. Safer Kedusha.
Safer Kedusha, like somewhere in the book.
It does fit well. They also note that in the
agenda for something else, you could put it somewhere.
Right. They also note that the Rambam puts it in the Kotera. He says, Shalu yihya ben soru habein soreru more akol aviv v'imo. So here he highlights the language of Kol Aviv V'Imo as well. So they argue that perhaps the Rambam highlights both Mechayivim, the Mechayiv of Zolo V'Sove, and also the Mechayiv of Aviv V'Imo.
Interesting because the Gemara that you mentioned, the Gemara at the beginning of this was comparing Mechila of Ben Zor Mora to Mechila of Zaki Mamre, which is one of the...
In Mamrim as well, right, exactly. So these are all obviously related areas. But at least the Rambam, by expanding Mechila, seems to expand the parental role as well. And then just one final nafkamina that we'll go through quickly, because we do have to start Mariv. There's a fascinating halacha, source 17. Achal davar shehu mitzvah udvar avera. If he ate something that's a mitzvah or an avera, dvar mitzvah tanchume avelim, dvar avera tainis tzibur. If he ate on a tainis tzibur, then he's not a ben tzor remor. Taimamai, omar kra, einenu shobeya mekolenu, Bikolenu v'lo bikolo shel makom. Fascinating Gzeiras HaKosov. That he has to be rebelling against the parents, but not against the Ribbono shel Olam, not against Aviv Shabbat Shamayim. Kolenu v'lo bikolo shel makom. Now, the Yad Ramah asks an interesting... Now, you can't just take that as a Gzeiras HaKosov. Perhaps you can expand that as well. Let's actually start with the Rambam. The Rambam in source 19 actually argues that that is the reason why eating something for a mitzvah is also not going to lead to Bentzor Rumor. We noted that Pashas in the Gemara seems to be that that's a Mamshech factor. I also noted that the Rambam limits Mamshech. If you look in source number 19, we'll just read the underline, Paisa Achilas Mitzvah Afilu Midivrayim O Achilas Avera Afilu Midivrayim Pater. If he did an achilas mitzvah or an achilas avera, it's not going to be usher. Why? Shnemar einenu shomea bikolenu she'enu over ba'achilazu ella al kolam. He's only violating their voice. Yatzazeh she'avar ba al divrei Torah o she'achla bidvar mitzvah. If he did a mitzvah or an avera, he's not just violating the word of the parents. Now, you can just take that as an interesting zeres hakasav. However, if once again you're saying that this is kind of like, let's use the language that Jerry was using a moment ago, a purely interpersonal thing, then it's possible that once you introduce other factors as well, then perhaps it's not directly an affront to the parents. The kid is having troubles with his frumkeit. He has troubles with Yiddishkeit in general and the rigorous demands of Taryag Mitzvos. So he rebels against Kolo Shomakum. That's not a direct affront to his parents, so that's not going to be an issue. So that would be okay. Or if he's doing a mitzvah, he's rebelling in the opposite direction. You have a lot of this, you know, with my kids in North Shore, right? They're rebelling in order to be more frum, okay, to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That introduces another factor that doesn't limit it to the interpersonal role between parents and children. The Yad Ramah raises a question as to, what do you mean? He says, eating on a tainus tzibur, that's an Isser Derabbanan. It's an Isser Derabbanan. So the Yad Ramah throws in, oh, you're violating Lo Sasser, so it's Kolo Shel Makom. The Rambam, that gets into the whole Lo Sasser discussion that we had when we were doing Shorash Aleph of the Sefer Mitzvos. The Rambam says, whether it's Doraisa or Derabbanan, either way, that's not going to be Einenu Shomea Bikolenu. Because if you're just introducing other factors, whether it's Doraisa or Derabbanan, those other factors are going to be introduced, and perhaps that would interfere with the pure interpersonal component of Bentzor Rumor. So in the end, we have three or four possible nafkaminas of this question of the centrality of the role of the parents. Why is it so important that he steals from the parents? Is it just because technically that happens to be where the goods are present and he can steal them? Or is it something more? He needs to steal from Aviv V'Imo. And Eved, one who does not have halachic yochsin, would they be within the parsha of Bentzor Rumora or not? Number three, to what point can the parents be mochel? Is it only because they can withdraw their prosecution, or can they actually be mochel even once it's handed over to Beis Din? And finally, what is this factor of Einenu Shomea Bikolenu, that it needs to exclusively be an interpersonal question between the parents and the child? As Hashem, going forward, we'll examine some of the other issues in Mitzvah Rumora.